alias rates. Yeah, that worked out really good.
Okay.
All right, and let's say, let me just, I'll edit this, but let's start 3, 2, 1, Mark. Hey, this is Ray Hanania.
And this is Ali Yunus.
And this is a special edition of Radio Ballady. This is just a podcast that we're going to do, right, Ali?
That's right. We thought we have a special occasion, and President Barack Obama now visiting Israel and the Palestinian territories and Jordan. This is a very special event for Americans and for Israelis and for the Arabs, apparently.
Yeah, and we thought that it deserved special attention. So, and we both have so much to say all the time. So we figured, hey, let's just do a special show that we'll post and podcast. So,
right, right. As if we never talk about the president or the Middle East or writer.
Yeah, right. We never talk about it. Let me turn to you and ask you to say, I listened to his speech with Abbas. I read the stuff that he said with Netanyahu, and I've been reading some of the stuff he said to the Israeli young people. What's your impression? What's the bottom line of this trip, do you think? What's the most important thing about this trip in your mind?
Well, I think the most important thing about this trip for President Obama is domestic American politics.
You think he addressed that then in this trip?
Well, he did not have to address that, but he was speaking to the Israelis.
Did he achieve his goal? Do you think he achieved his goal?
I think so, but there are voices in Israel who say, you know, Israelis could take care of themselves. They should engage in their own national conversation about their own future and survival in the region.
Right.
However, Barack Obama went there. Of course, we all know, firsthand, that he went there to try to speak to the Israelis directly. He is taking a play from former President Clinton playbook as far as go and talk to the Israelis directly so as to when you talk to the Israeli politicians, you have the backing. I mean, the strategy goes, you have the backing of the Israelis. And instead of pressuring Netanyahu and it gets backlash from the Israelis.
But do you think that he achieved his goal then of speaking to the Israeli people and circumventing the Israeli, you know, the Netanyahu fanatic government?
I don't know, really. I mean, come to think about it, Ray, you know, who put the Israeli fanatic settler government in power? Not Americans, Israelis. Who?
Right. No, I agree. You're right. They voted.
Directly.
Right. Well, but Obama, I was going to say, if he's taking a leaf from the playbook of Bill Clinton, maybe he should just mess around with Monica Lewinsky because, you know, trying to bring peace and appeal to the Israelis didn't work with Clinton. Why would it work with Obama? What more does Obama bring that everybody else failed to bring? I don't see it.
Yes, well, that's a great question. But back to Monica Lewinsky, I think Obama's not going to do that.
I know we all want to go to Monica Lewinsky.
But for the simple fact that Monica Lewinsky is no longer an intern at the White House. She is a probably married woman, you know, and going on with her life. As far as Obama, what he is trying to do, first, when he finally present a peace initiative in the Middle East in trying to solve the conflict by applying American pressure, prestige, and power in the region, he would have to present himself as a friend of the Jews, a friend of the Israeli government, a friend of the Israeli people. Without doing that, he will come across, as it happened in the first term, as he's a Muslim Barack Obama. He's a pro-Arab. He's a pro-Palestinian. He was weathering Arabs from all sides, and from the conservatives, from the right wing, from the pro-Israeli people.
The Republicans hate him because he's black. A lot of Palestinians hate him because they expected more from somebody who was black. The Israelis don't trust him because they think he's Muslim. He has a Arab middle name. You know what? Here's what I am not very optimistic about Obama, and I've been very critical of him. I don't think he's done a very good job, but I do have to say that when I listened to what he said, and you and I talked about this earlier, it was the end result that is more important to me than how we get there, because this conflict, if we fight about how we get there, we will never get any place. His end result is a Palestinian sovereign state, equal and next to Israel, a Jewish state. That seems to have angered many people because he says he supports a Jewish state, and the Palestinians seem not to care that he said he supports a Palestinian sovereign state.
Well,
you can't make anybody happy, can you?
Well, there are huge ramifications when you say Jewish state. That means it's exclusively Jewish. Well, that's fine.
Okay, but wait, why should we, you and I, argue that? Let's get into that because that's interesting. If we have two states, one Israel and one Palestine, let the Israelis deal with their own problems.
Exactly,
they want to
exactly
call it
right.
Jewish. Who cares?
Exactly.
And so why should we care if Obama says they could have a Jewish, state?
We don't care. Just like we don't care if there's...
But we do care. We do. That's all they're arguing about.
According to your argument, we shouldn't care. Yes, and I agree with you. They could call Lollapalooza Israel, as far as I'm concerned.
No, but if you live in Israel, you should care, right? If you're going to live in Israel,
right, but,
and that should be up to the Palestinians who live in Israel, but... If you and I are going to live in a Palestine state, let Israel do whatever it wants on its side.
But that's not the real issue, Ray. The real issue, when you call Jewish a state, the implications for the Palestinian who are Israeli citizens, the Arab Israelis of 1948. So if the state is exclusively Jewish, it excludes the Christian Arabs and the Muslim Arabs who are perhaps 1.5 to 2 million people.
Is that? Is that what we're upset about? That we're not going to get what we want?
No, I am not upset about that, but I'm trying to explain the argument.
But it bothers you, though. I mean, I don't mean to single you out because it bothers a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't.
A lot of Arabs.
It doesn't bother me.
It does.
It doesn't bother me as Ali Younes, but I'm trying to explain the argument behind why people, I wouldn't say upset. But this
No, they are upset. They're I'm on my Facebook page.
Well,
I have people that are yelling, going, "Why did you hear them say it was a Jewish state?" And I said, "Okay, but can't we look beyond that? I think we got too many people emotional and angry."
You're right, but see, this is a fine issue here because let's get into the negotiation and then negotiate about the nature of the two states. But to talk about it in public, it circumvent the negotiation and it blocks the talks from going through and it blocks peace.
That's a good point. In other words, his strategy to reach out directly to the Israelis was a stupid mistake that only fuels the fire of anger on both sides.
Well,
didn't he make a dumb mistake?
Shouldn't
he have done this behind closed doors?
He shouldn't try to appease the Israelis all the way by calling Jewish state. I mean,
well, aren't Israelis saying he's appeasing Palestinians, isn't he? Aren't they? That's what they're saying.
Well, that's the official position of the Israeli government is they are in favor of a two-state solution, that officially, technically.
Isn't that the official position of the Palestinians?
Yes, it is.
Except for Hamas. They don't.
Who cares about Hamas, at this point?
Well, I agree, but not everybody agrees.
But what I'm saying is what Obama's trying to do is he appears to be is buying more and more into the Israeli positions without appearing to be a fair-handed player. I mean, he is going all the way for Israel, shamelessly, and bashfully.
Well, wait. But he didn't go all the way for Israel because I thought he did put up a block or a fence regarding the settlers. I mean, it seemed like he didn't go talk to the settlers, did he?
No.
So I thought that was important. Why do we always not see the positives just because things don't fall our way 100%.
Well, you're the one who called his strategy stupid, not me.
Well, I do think his strategy is stupid from the standpoint that he's talking to the public.
Well, that's the whole strategy is to talk to the public.
It's a dumb move. It's a dumb move. Because as you pointed out correctly, real negotiation should be done behind closed doors. Because the truth is, negotiations are like making sausage. Halal sausage or kosher sausage, whatever. It's a messy, dirty business, and it doesn't look good, but the end result is good. And isn't it that don't we get stuck in the middle watching them make it, and we don't like it?
Well, you see, Ray, but see, when you negotiate, the negotiations are about settlement, compromise, right? And the nature of that compromise and settlement depends on the balance of power. Now, the Palestinians, of course, they have a huge gap when it comes to the balance of power. Even adding the Arab states on their side, the entire Arab world still, the balance of power is in favor of Israel, politically, militarily, and economically. So you go into negotiation with this type of position, you're bound to lose. So what do? You have to have the popular...
What do you mean by lose, though? What do you mean by lose?
You lose because...
We've lost everything, and haven't our people rejected everything? And I'm not... Listen, I'm just focusing on our people, but that's not to say the Israelis aren't guilty of war crimes. The Israelis haven't murdered people. The Israelis are obstructionists. Netanyahu doesn't want peace. He's the worst, I think. But isn't it true that we can't get over the fact that we feel that we're being asked to compromise on something that we owned completely, and we can't deal with it, and the Israelis are willing to take whatever they can get? Isn't that what it comes down to?
Yes, but also no. The Palestinians have compromised. You know, they accepted a long time ago, since the 1970s, that two-state solution.
That means we accept Israel's right to exist.
Yes,
let them.
It's a foregone.
So why do we want to manage whether they call themselves a Jewish state or not?
Well, it's not even part of the debate whether we accept Israel's right to exist or not. It's already a foregone conclusion. But this is like Hamas saying, "I want the future Palestinian state, a state for the Muslims or the Muslim Brotherhood." It includes Christians and Jews whoever. So,
and secular Muslims.
For the Palestinians, there are 1.5 million. Are you going to kick them out into the future Palestinian states?
Let them deal with it. They'll be part of Israel, won't they? I mean, I'm assuming a sovereign Palestine and a Jewish Israel, all the Arab states are Muslim Arab states anyway, right? Is any Arab state secular? Is there one Arab state that isn't Islamic?
Well, they're all secular states.
No, they're not. Come on. Jordan is a secular state.
Yes, it
is. Isn't Islam the official religion? Isn't Jordan an Islamic country? Is it or not?
It's the same thing when we say America is a Christian country, but the majority are Christians.
But we don't say that in America. America isn't a Christian country, but it's not...
It's not a Buddhist country. It is a Muslim country.
I think there are people in the United States that want to make us Christian.
There are five
country.
Churches on my street. Five. You know?
Well, you can go build a mosque if you can raise the funds and get the support, but you can't do it, and neither can I. But here's what I'm saying. If we accept the premise of two states, why should you and I, who are only concerned about the Palestinians, why should we care if Obama refers to Israel the way they want to be referred to as a Jewish state? Why should we care?
Well, like I said, it doesn't matter. But see, there are huge implications on that. I mean, this is you're going to fall into an Israeli trap when it comes down to negotiation. If we agree, if I was a negotiator, I'd say, yes, and I agree on the premise that Jewish state, the Jewish state.
But I don't think we should be forced to agree. See, that I agree with what you're saying, that I don't think the Israelis have a right to force me to say I accept you as a Jewish state. You be whatever you want. You can call yourself Israel. I may still call you Palestine.
That's a great point, you know, and I agree with it, and it doesn't matter what they call themselves. But see, when it comes to Israelis, they built a wall. See, I don't care if they built a wall around Tel Aviv. It doesn't matter to me, right? But they built their wall that separate to, you know, what Obama referred to prevent suicide bombing. So Obama agreed to the wall on Palestinian land. It took Palestinian land.
Yes, agree, and that's wrong.
You could build wall, you know, in your own territories. You could call yourself Israel.
No, but if we have a... But isn't that issue thrown out, though, when we have an agreement? I mean, if we have two states, doesn't the issue of the wall become irrelevant?
It should. It should, you know. But I hope it wouldn't be the
We don't trust
the borders of the borders of the future Palestinian state. That wall, you know.
Ellie, listen, this is a special edition of Radio Ballady, a podcast edition. I'm Ray Hanania.
I'm Ali Younes.
And we're really talking about a very emotional
marathon
subject.
It's a marathon issue for us, and it's not like we don't talk about it. We talk about it every day. And I have an article out in the Huffington Post on Obama. I have an ARB English article on Obama's, you know, trip to the Middle East. Probably I've written about Obama's, most of my articles about Obama during his presidency, because it impacted our lives here in America and overseas.
And our tax dollars, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a relevant topic for me, you, and everybody else. It's a legitimate topic, and we should be talking about it. And that's part of the democracy, and that's why we live in America. And God bless America.
And God bless America, too, Christian America.
Yeah, Christian America.
Listen, Ali, do you think that Obama helped or hurt the peace process?
I think what I really think is Obama is passive about the peace process at this point. Like I said, I think, and this is perhaps, I mean, I don't work for the White House. The strategy is to go in there and prove his credentials to the Israeli public and to the Israeli leaders. He's probably going to throw more money. And they said they're going to, you know, work with the aid to Israel until 2017. It'll be $3 billion a year. Yeah. So, and after that, he will find himself in a position to go ahead and present a peace process from a position, a friend of Israel. Look, I'm your friend. I gave you a lot of money. I came to your country. I spoke to your people. I spoke to your children. You know, I love you. I love you more than I love myself.
Right, but let me ask you a question. What good does it do for him to stand up and say, Israel, you're wrong, and go to Palestine and say, in other words, the exact same thing with the Palestinians? Isn't the problem that us as Palestinians, Arabs, and even Muslims, if we want to bring them into it, and Christian Arabs, that we can't get our act together, that we're divided, that we can't tolerate differing viewpoints, that our governments in the Middle East are dictators and tyrants, and that we love to have Israel there because they want to have us focus our anger against the Israelis and ignore everything that's being done? Isn't that the reality, that he can't do to us what he's doing for Israel because we won't let him do that?
Not just that, because what he can do to us is just make a phone call and boss us around. Israel is a democracy. Because I want to talk to you. But
well, I thought he was disrespectful to the Arab organizations that met with them. What a bunch of wusses,
yeah.
You know, they were, I thought, in my opinion. Except for the American Task Force on Palestine. I think they're the only organization worth supporting.
Yeah, well, see, the Obama wouldn't even, because, you know, Arab societies are not free societies yet, unfortunately.
They're not.
Right. And there are no democracy in the Middle East. So, I mean, there's no point for him to come speak to the Jordanian public. He's going to Amman tonight. And I actually finished drafting a letter to the king, supporting of the King Abdullah. This is uncharacteristic.
And he's going to read your letter, I bet, right? And then hand it to the Mukhabarat.
Yes. Well, it's uncharacteristic for me because, well, there's a big, big problem in Jordan over the king's interview with the Atlantic Monthly. And I've written on it, and I was mentioned in the Arab press, that I support the king because the king said, I want to move Jordan into constitutional monarchy. I want to have a democracy. I want to curb the Mukhabarat, the secret police. You know, and this is a thing that I believe in, you know, from before. I have written on it.
Right. And you think he's being genuine?
I hope so, you know. But even if he was not genuine, but he said those words, and he's a king, you know, he's a head of state, his words, you know, should matter. And for us, the public, we should push the king, encourage the king, or the president of the United States to go ahead and move in the right direction. And that's what I try to do. This is my strategy, that in order for you to practice democracy and to attain democracy, you have to be proactive. You have to push other people in power. Otherwise, you can't sit at home and complain all day and be like Ray Hanania, just complain about everything. You know?
Oh, like I'm the only one that complains. I'm the one that gets criticized, and they complain about me. People are mad at me to say, who are you, Ray? To say you support compromise.
Yeah, well, they said about me, I'll quote the Arabic.
All of us, right. No, but you and I are moderate, and yet it's still emotional even between us. By the way, one point about the Atlantic Monthly interview with King Abdullah. I'm upset that our own Arab leaders don't respect Arabs. Why didn't they do an interview with you? Why didn't King Abdullah do an interview with me instead of a reporter who happens to be Jewish but is a big supporter of Israel? And I don't always agree with them or disagree with them, but why is it that they don't respect their own people?
Well, Jeff, because, you know, in my letter, Ray, and I called for a Bill of Rights for the Jordanians, the freedom of the press, because much of the Jordanian journalists, unfortunately, are on payroll of the secret police. So there is
control.
No freedom of press. Very few. Right. I mean, they hijacked some of my work, and there's nothing I can do about it because, I mean, They're not real journalists, unfortunately.
Right. And no, they're not. They're activists. They're not worried about.
They are on the payroll. They are employees of the Mukhabarat.
Well, they're not successful activists.
They're not successful activists. They don't even try to push, they're not even trying to publicize the king's ideas in the Jordanian society, because the king described the old guard in Jordan as dinosaurs, because that's a political term. The entire country of Jordan, especially the tribes, went up in arms over this one word. They have pictures of dinosaurs. They have dinosaurs cartoons. Kids have Barney dinosaurs. What? He meant old guard. He meant this is old school politics, so we should move forward. People stuck. They took it as an insult. You call us dinosaurs?
I just posted on the Atlantic site, why didn't King Abdullah sit down with an American Arab journalist instead of someone who many might argue is biased and unfair? How's that?
Yeah.
There's my moment of protest.
Well, Jeffrey Goldberg, he struck, a couple of years ago. He talked to Netanyahu, and he sort of raised alarms that Netanyahu might strike Iran. It was a big news in the Arab world.
Yeah, no, I know. And that Iran thing is a big distraction. Because let's be honest, if North Korea, I can just see Kim Jong-un, the new dictator of North Korea. What?
What's his name again? Because I never got...
Kim Jong-un. Okay. Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un, I could just see him sitting with his advisors going, okay, generals, I want to attack America. Does anybody have a problem with that? And they all look around and say, no, we don't have a problem. Just don't say you're going to attack Israel and nobody will care. So here he is pointing nuclear weapons at the United States and nobody's doing anything. And then here you got Iran who's just saying, hey, we have a right not to be told what to do, and we're ready to go to war against Iran, all because he said bad things about Israel. What is that all about?
Well, look, the real issue is for Netanyahu, he was very successful in the past 4 years in making the issue domestically, regionally, and internationally, and especially in America, about Iran.
Right.
You say, the biggest threat in the Middle East is not the Arab-Israeli conflict. Forget about the Palestinian state.
Right. That's what he wants us to do. Forget about the Palestinians.
Yeah, it's just...
We're making it easy. Don't
exactly.
we make it... My point is that Arabs, the Palestinians, we're making it easy for Israel and Netanyahu to do these things because we can't come together. We can't agree on a compromise. Let's be honest. We want everything or nothing. And we're going to end up with nothing because... In 65 years, we have nothing. What do we have? We want everything,
and we get
nothing. And you. Two free Palestinians who can say whatever they want in a podcast here as a special edition of Radio Ballady. By the way, I'm Ray Hanania.
Hey, I'm Ali Yunus.
And Ali, just for the listeners, where can listeners read more about your writings?
I write for the Huffington Post. My latest article is titled, Is Obama Turning His Back on the Middle East Peace? And I also write for Al Arabiya English website, alarabiya.net, and go to the HuffingtonPost.net. You can find my work. And also you could follow me on Twitter, Clear Ali. It's very simple, Clear, because I am Clear, and Ali because my name is Ali.
And what's our fan out there, Yasmin? Is it Hassan? Yes.
Yasmin.
We love her. She's one of our big fans. She doesn't have to always agree with us, but she is such a smart person. I love her.
Yeah.
I'm going to make her my fourth wife. What do you think?
More power to you.
You're probably going to be upset about that because
I don't practice polygamy, but also you have to convert to Islam.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's unfair. Well, why can't I, as a Christian?
It wouldn't hurt you, move into the true religion of God, Islam. So it's not gonna kill you.
I don't wanna put Yasmin Hassan in a bad position by saying that I'd like to make her my fourth wife, because that means that there'll be a very small handful of fanatics that are gonna be mad at her if she says yes.
Right.
So we don't want to push her into that terrible future. But Ali, and by the way, listeners can go to Hanania.com and read my columns. But Ali, let's go back to the Obama trip for a minute. What do you think is next now? I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Give me your, an overview.
I think Obama's going to come back and say to the Republicans, the conservatives, and everybody else, see, I'm a good friend of Israel.
Right.
And he's going to, send John Kerry to work. John Kerry is a formidable figure. He's not.
He's a good person. I like. Yeah, his, I like the former
Senator Dennis Ross, and I always attended his hearings in.
I hated Dennis. I disliked Dennis Ross.
Yes.
I don't want to say
yeah.
hated. I disliked him. Yeah. He was biased.
You were very emotional.
He was never objective. I'm a very emotional. I am very emotional. What are you going
to
do?
You have to calm down. You don't need to be like me. You know, calm, collected. You know. So
emotion is like our middle name as Arab. That's our middle name.
You know the
Ray Emotion Hanania.
The funny thing, Ray, is that I was talking to a cardiologist, a friend of mine from Jordan. He's in Boston. I said, you know, we're talking about Jordanians and Arabs. I said, look, you know what always gets me, that many Arabs tell me, you know, look, you know, I'm very emotional. I could blow up like an ox in a China shop. But you know, I'm so good, I could just be calm in 1 second. I'm thinking, wow, you guys work just to push a button. You crazy, and then push a button, you calm and nice. You know, you are unstable. See, Arabs are unstable if they just emotionally burst in a minute, and in the second minute, they're so sweet and nice. You know, that's not rational. That's not really a stable person who just erupts.
It's not, and it happens too often. You know, I always like to relate the story, but yeah. I always like to relate the story about how I was in the military during the Vietnam War, and I was watching TV, and it was like this: the 1973 Arab-Israeli War had just started, and they had an Israeli guy and an Arab guy, and the Israeli looked, sounded, acted American, identified with the Americans, and the Arab said, "Listen, I'm an emotional person. I get really upset because this guy has destroyed our life," and I understood it. But I also recognize that we use our emotion in every instance
as a weapon.
We're not right, and we're not strategic. Yes, against ourselves, and we're not strategic to be smart to say, "Wait a minute, I don't like what Israel does, but am I going to focus on that and lose the American audience, or should I be smart and say, wait a minute, we want peace, we want two states, we want compromise," knowing that you and I both know that if there, and I think the Israelis know this too, if there ever is peace, eventually it will all become Palestine. I don't care if they start with two states. 100 years from now, Israel will eventually be merged and it will become Palestine.
So you're thinking just like South Africa, when the white settlers went to South Africa, and 100 years later, I mean, now it's South Africa is a black, I mean, there is a white component in there, but also a democracy.
Yeah, but it's still very racist, the society in South Africa. They still got a lot of problems. There's a lot of violence.
Who's
in South
committing
Africa.
The racism? The black government?
Both sides. Yeah, I mean, I've read stories about, you know, when they had that story about that one Olympian athlete
who allegedly
killed his girlfriend, the model. And then he had all this security because he was worried people were going to kill him long before this problem. You know, so that, you know, so South Africa is not really, is that what we want to be as Palestine?
Well, as Palestine, I would like it to be like Sweden or Paris, you know, or Western Europe.
Yes.
Country, you know,
yes.
But not like Lebanon. You know, everybody kill everybody or have a problem with everybody, and there's no state there where, you know, citizenship is not really an issue there. The issue is what sect you belong to, and that's a problem. And we don't want that problem to be a problem for all the Arab states, to be a member of a tribe as opposed to be a citizen of a country.
Right. But listen, I think our biggest problem, and I think it's important to talk about what our problem is, because if we have a problem and we can't get over it, then we cannot achieve our goals. And I think our biggest problem is we are too emotional. We are too easily provoked because the Israelis are committing horrendous war crimes against us. And I understand why we're angry, but we need to have leaders that can control it and then come up with a strategy to win our state back. We need our country, and until we get it, I think we're lost.
That's true. I mean, it's really, I mean, in all seriousness, the Palestinian issue, the Palestinian society was torn apart, you know, since 1948. You have diaspora populations, and people, you know, are lost without a country. And
don't be taking any phone calls.
No, I'm not. That was just
during our podcast.
Yes, I know. No, that's Bloomberg News. I don't want to mention Bloomberg.
Oh, they're calling. Mayor Bloomberg is calling you?
No,
Would you tell him I need some money?
It's a press conference, but, you know, I don't want to mention Bloomberg because I'm giving them free advertising in our show.
Like it would do him. Like he needs it. I think he can get some publicity from
By
him.
The way, didn't he support a congresswoman from Chicago to the place?
Yes.
Did she
win? I think Robin Kelly, yes, she did, because of his $2 million donation. And he did that strategically.
Gun
control because, because he wanted her vote on gun control. Not that it's doing anybody any good, but why don't we have strategies like that?
She's a white woman, right?
No, she's African-American.
Is she? Okay.
Yeah, she was African-American. Well, listen, Allie, why don't we have a clear strategic consensus in the Arab community and the Palestinian community, especially, to establish our state and get that done? Shouldn't that be our number one goal, a free Palestine, regardless of the size?
Yes, regardless of the size.
Well, right, but I mean, isn't that the obstacle? I mean, a realistic contiguous state, if it included the majority of the West Bank, access to Jerusalem and Gaza. Would that be acceptable to you as a state?
Well, if it's up to me, yes. I mean, if am I the issue?
No, but you have a right to express. But you are a Palestinian, just like me. Don't we have a right to say what we want? I mean, if we want that, but not everybody agrees. Some people want one state. They want everything.
That's true. Well, yes, I am in favor of two-state solutions because I don't think a one state will work out. Because you know, in the long run, you're saying that Israel will be Palestine and Arabs. I don't agree with that because Israel, the dominant society there, they have the strongest army not only in the region but it's also in the world. They have nuclear weapons. They have a higher, much more powerful culture than the local Arab Palestinian culture there. They're very sophisticated. They have universities top of the world. They have 10 Nobel laureates. So how can you, as a society, Palestinian society, third world country, underdeveloped people in comparison to the Israelis and to the...
I'll tell you why, because Israel is only strong in conflict. Israel exists because of conflict. Israel's strength comes from conflict. Israel's strength comes from its PR machine that makes it seem like everybody in the Arab world and the Muslim world is against them, and they're the victims when they're not the victims. And I'll tell you, once that conflict is gone, all that illusion, the myth of Israel, disappears. And even though they may have the strongest military in the world, the Romans collapsed, and they had the strongest military in the world, so that's irrelevant. Palestine will win because we have justice on our side. The problem is we also have these extremist fanatics who are obstacles to justice.
Well, I hope you're right, my friend, but I think...
I will be right. Take it to the bank.
Yeah, I hope so, because I don't think it's just you need more than justice on your side. Native American had justice on their side, and they lost, okay?
Yeah.
Many countries around the world.
When we're done, we're going to go to a Native American-owned casino.
Palestinians also,
they're going to take all my money.
Right. So Palestinians, you know, were right, and they had justice on their side. It's their country. You know, they kicked out of the country, and they became refugees, and they're still lost. Everybody, you know, that claimed justice on their side. But obviously, we need much more than justice. Justice by itself is not enough in today's world. And this is a very idealistic position. It's a very romantic position. I love it if it just works out that way. But it doesn't work out that way.
I think for our purposes as Palestinians, we still have to cling to hope that even though Obama didn't do what I had hoped he would do, you know, and I can hope that he'll do something, but I still believe that what he did does help a little bit. I think it still keeps the door open to two states. He said the things that I like. I didn't like some of the things he said to the Israelis, but you know something? That's what compromise is about. I can't get 100%, but if I can get 50%, I'm happy.
Yes, yes. I mean, if we get 50%.
But you and I are a minority. Not everybody agrees with us in our community.
Well, you know, Palestinians, I think poll after poll, they agree with the compromise. They're willing to take, you know, let's West Bank. But the Israelis, you know, okay, we'll give you the West Bank. We'll give you Gaza. Sure, we'll be more than happy to do that. But East Jerusalem, no. And you can't compromise on East Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem was liberated in 1187 by Salah ad-Din, and it was lost in 1967. So you want Mahmoud Abbas, or any leader for that matter, relinquish that piece of property, that piece of real estate that is a symbol of, for all religions, Jews, Muslims, and Christians, to give it away so freely, so easily like that. You know, it's very difficult task to do that.
I agree with you that there can be no... We can never have peace unless we have a part of Jerusalem. as part of our state. That I do believe that.
There's a Christian quarter, Armenian quarter, there's a Jewish quarter, there's a Muslim quarter. But Israel wants the whole pie, you know, and they say, we're compromising. And that's what really got me when Obama, you know, used the term Eretz Israel. So in other words, like we've discussed before, he paraphrased and he quoted former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon when he said, in order to compromise peace and to have Israel as a Jewish state, you cannot control all the land of Israel. In other words, Obama wants to convince the Israelis that for the purpose of peace, they need to give up their land of Israel to become Palestinian state. So the issue for, and he used Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King fought for equal rights, for civil rights of African Americans who are citizens of this country. Now, and they had an inalienable right to freedom and prosperity in this country. Why can't Palestinians be like African Americans in this country who have inalienable right to freedom, as opposed to having their freedom coming from or depending on the generosity of the Israelis, who say, yes, we'll give you part of our land for the purpose of peace? That's not the way it works. But for the sake of argument, I'll give him that. Okay, he could say whatever he wants if the end results will deliver me to the promised land. That is the two-state solutions.
Listen, I think that this is our biggest shot. If we can't get a guy who everybody thinks is Muslim with an Arab name who is a president of the United States to nurture and usher in a peace process for us, we will never have a Palestinian state. Never.
Yes, well, that's true.
This guy is the best guy we got, and he's a big disappointment. And
well,
that's
true.
Really,
that's true. I mean, you know, you remember when Obama got elected first term?
We thought the jihad was over.
I didn't think so. I mean, I had a column say we should not vote for him. But
actually, I supported Hillary Clinton because I still believe the Clintons really are genuine, much more effective, too.
But, you know, later on, I support Barack Obama, you know, truly for many domestic issues, among them, you know, civil rights.
Right.
But it turned out to be like George W. Bush when it comes to issues of national security. Even on the right of George W. Bush. You know, arresting Americans without, you know, killing Americans without due process, closing Guantanamo, extending the Patriot Act, you know, as a law, and enacting other laws on national security under the guise of national security that will curb the civil rights of all Americans and, you know, us being part of that social fabric in America, it'll affect us as well. So Obama, it turned out, when it comes to issues of civil liberties and national security, he's in the right, George W. Bush. But also when it comes to the Arab-Israeli conflict, he has not made, you know, a big dent than what George Bush did. George Bush even did much more than President Barack Obama. Barack Obama got stuck on the settlement issue. And Netanyahu stuck, you know, made him freeze his efforts on the Palestinian issue. But George Bush, because he's a Republican and he was supportive of Israel, he had much more leeway to pressure Israel or to convince
Israel. I'm more worried that we're going to have another Republican right-wing fanatic conservative, a right-wing fanatic conservative who takes over the country again after Obama. That scares me. We forget how bad things could be. And we have to work with Obama. He's the only thing we got and our only hope. And we need to find a way to make it work. That's my opinion.
Well, my opinion, I think we have the right to choose what kind of president we want. I mean, you know, he's not going to deliver us from evil or lead us into the promised land. We could do that ourselves. But, you know, elect the right
person. I don't trust us to do it. It would be nice if we could, but unfortunately, I don't think we're doing it. Listen, Ali, this has been fun. We need to do some of these special Radio Ballady podcasts in the future to really get into these issues. And I hope everybody listens to us on radio every Friday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on WNZK AM 690 Radio and on our website live at RadioBallady.com. And I'm Ray Hannon.
And I am Ali Yunus.
And this has been a special edition of maybe we can do that
Breaking
Huntley
news.
Brinkley thing with tape. We can do that. The typewriter key isn't out. All right, Ali, listen, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, Ray.
We'll talk again. You're welcome. We'll talk again later. Bye-bye.